Many claim to worship and serve Jesus, but they deny the real Jesus of the scriptures. A large segment of the denominational world deny Jesus' present kingship by claiming that Jesus' reign as a king is yet future. This doctrine is known as premillennialism. Paul referred to Jesus in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Notice that Jesus is said to be simultaneously potentate, Lord of lords, and King of kings. Jesus received all authority. A potentate is one who has authority after his resurrection from the dead. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And in Romans, the first chapter and verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is also known to be Lord, one who has authority and must be obeyed. In Luke, the sixth chapter and verse 46, the Lord says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In connection with Jesus being potentate, Lord of lords, King of kings, Paul mentions that Jesus resides immortally. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach us unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Jesus has the power to save, being potentate, King of kings, and Lord of lords. Hence, at the time of Timothy, of 1 Timothy 6, Jesus was King of kings. First, let's look at the kingship of Jesus being prophesied. There are a number of prophecies that mention the fact that Jesus would be king, and that also help us to identify when Jesus would assume his kingship. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, Nathan says to David, and when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verses 5 and 6, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Dan chapter 2 and verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Perhaps the most interesting prophecy regarding Jesus' kingship is found in Zechariah, the sixth chapter, verses 12 and 13. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and it shall sit and sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the counsel of peace shall be between them both. In Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, make it plain that the branch is Jesus. Zechariah's prophecy not only mentions Jesus would rule upon his throne, but he would also be a priest upon his throne. Jesus was officiating as high priest at the time of the writing of Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. seeing that then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hence, Jesus is also King of Kings at this time. Next, the King is born. The angel Gabriel explained to Mary regarding the child she carried within her in Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation should this be? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom shall have no end, shall know no end. And then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Gabriel also explained that Jesus, her child, would be called the Son of the Highest, the Lord, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary did not know that the child she carried would be king. Next, the king is crucified. The climax of Jesus' life began when he was arrested and subject to mock trials. We read this in John chapter 18. Notice how the Roman ruler Pilate presented Jesus to the Jews who had Jesus arrested and set up for trial and ultimate death by crucifixion. Behold your king, in John chapter 19 and verse 14. Pilate attempted to reason with the mad mob, asking them, Shall I crucify your king? In connection with the crucifixion, we read that Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. When the Jews wanted the title changed, Pilate refused to make any changes. Next, the king is alive. Jesus prophesied of his death and subsequent triumphant resurrection in Matthew 20 and verse 19, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Jesus was indeed raised from the grave. In Matthew 28 and verse 5 and 6 we read, And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. An interesting event took place shortly after, following Jesus' resurrection, that involved the two women named Mary. In Matthew 28 and verse 9, And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Their behavior and action rendered to Jesus was homage befitting a king. The coronation of Jesus as king. After Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected the third day, he revealed himself for 40 days in order to prove his resurrection. We read about this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Notice that Jesus spoke to the apostles of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. A kingdom presupposes a king. When he had spoken to his apostles, he was taken up in a cloud and received out of their sight. Shortly after the ascension of Jesus, the awaited day of Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2. Peter preached thus to these people about the resurrection of Jesus and consequent need to be saved. Beginning in verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, therefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." Peter affirmed that Jesus had been raised up to sit on David's throne in verse 30. The raising up pertaining to Jesus' resurrection, Peter explains in verse 31 and 32. Jesus at the right hand of God exalted, Peter further discusses in verse 33. Peter is referring to the actual coronation of Jesus. Therefore, the prophetic teachings regarding Jesus' kingship were fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Notice that Jesus was raised up to sit on David's throne in verse 30. Hence, Jesus' reign as king is spiritual, not temporal. The king is now reigning. When Peter preached of Jesus' coronation, he presents Jesus as reigning at the time of Acts chapter 2. The kingdom was in place during the first century. Regarding the Christians at Colossae, we read in Colossians 1 and verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." John later wrote in Revelations 1 and verse 9, "I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." Jesus is presently reigning on a spiritual throne of David in heaven, where he also serves as high priest. We read this in Zechariah 6 and 12 and 13, and Hebrews 4 and 14 and 16. The scriptures do not teach that Jesus was to physically reign in a literal city of Jerusalem upon the material throne of David, after the fashion of a worldly government. Jesus, in John 18 and verse 36, Jesus answered to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." The king is coming again. One of the grandest preludes found in the scriptures regarding the judgment day reads as follows. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Notice, "Then shall the king say," in verse 34. And then the expression, "Then shall he sit upon his throne of glory," is not teaching that at that time Jesus will assume kingship, but is referring to the judgment throne. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether good or bad." The judgment will not be the beginning of Christ's reign, but the end of Jesus' mediatorial reign. Notice Paul's language in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. In conclusion, Jesus is now potentate, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Any doctrine to the contrary attempts to strip Jesus of his royalty and is false. In view of Jesus' kingship, we are obligated to submit to his reign. In Luke 19, verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And then in verse 27, but those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Sadly, many want to view Jesus as a savior, but not as the potentate, Lord of Lords, and King of Kings. At this time, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. Our Lord died on that cross so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. He was the sacrificial lamb, the only sacrifice that could possibly take away our sins and reconcile us to God. We could not of ourselves do anything that would reconcile us to God. And it was through God's gift of his Son, the sacrificial lamb, that gave us the potential, the possibility to have forgiveness of our sins. So at this time, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper.